Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. We want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Glad you could join us this morning. A little bit bad weather, so to speak, but it's still good. Praise God for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord this morning, for everybody that's come to be with us. We know there's a lot of sickness going around and things like that, so we want to remember everybody in prayer. Let's continue to pray for all those that are sick. I know there's some churches that are closed down because of roads and icy parking lots, and that's, I completely understand. And there's some that just closed down because of sickness. So let's remember all those in prayer as far as that goes. We're not going to take a spoken prayer request this morning for in due of time. And obviously, as we're always, we're going live on the app right now as we speak. But we want to begin back and pick back up with This Generation Speaks. It was hugely successful, to say the least, when we done it, when the Lord gave us the idea about it, and we done it there a couple months ago, and so we knew we was going to kind of revisit it, but we've kind of got a different spin on it, if you will. This is going to be about relationships. Today we're going to be talking about, me, Emily, and Matt, we're going to be talking about the relationship with God being first. So if we're going to talk about relationships, Brother Joe, the most important relationship any of us can have is our relationship with the Lord. If the relationship with the Lord's not right, then the marriage will struggle. The home life will struggle. The friendships will struggle. All those things are going to happen. But if our relationship with the Lord is strong, then everything else, Pat, can kind of fall in place, so to speak. I kind of liken it to a pyramid, if that makes any sense. A pyramid's built, and you got all these different sides, but then you got to have that capstone that goes in place that connects every single side to one another, and that way each one of them can lean on each other and give each other strength. Well, God is that capstone. So, but we're going to talk about that next week, Lord willing. Brother Dave, Braden Griffin, and Kenzie Mouse, the young lady, if you remember, came from Gilbert Way, is going to be, they're going to be talking about a relationship with each other. And then Pastor Walker on the third week, and I think, I don't know how he's going to go with it yet, but he's talking about relationship of marriage. And he may end up having a couple couples with him up here. I don't know what he's going to do about that, but that's the plan, Lord willing, here in the next few weeks. That's what we're going to do. But we've got a lot of ground to cover, so we're going to go ahead and dive into it, because what their ideas are is going to be different from my generation's idea, different from my parents' generation's, different from their younger generation. But it's important that we all know that we all have a voice in the church. And honest to goodness, folks, listen, they have a lot to offer. I mean, we all know that. God's using this generation in a mighty way. They're full of the Spirit. They're hungry for God. We're seeing it in groups. God is doing amazing, amazing things, discipleship and passion. That's what I see, Leah. I'm seeing passion from it. Really excites me. And so what they've got to say is really good stuff. So that's what we're going to lean on this morning. I gave each one of them five questions beforehand, and we're going to go over those five questions a little bit this morning. Then we'll kind of get on. I got some more questions I prepared, but we want to know their thoughts and everything like that. But we're talking about this morning the importance, Josh, of our relationship with God, okay? Because I listen, I know a lot of people, a lot of moms, me and Tara talk about mothers. Tara has that group, Mommy, Me, and Jesus. And it went really good yesterday. And I know as she's been diving into preparing for that and stuff like that, you've got a lot of mothers that really want their homes to be stable and to be nurturing and stuff like that. You know, there's no better way for that to happen, Bobby, than if the Lord is at the center of it. So we're going to talk about, you know, different things this morning. But the first question is going to start with Miss Emily here. This is Emily Trogdon, former Emily Walker, married to Jacob. They've just since moved over toward Kanawha County, Putnam County, Lord willing. God's blessed them. But we're going to start out with her, then we're going to go to Matt and get his answer on the same question. Emily, when I say having a personal relationship with God, what's this mean to you?
Well, Hello. Okay. To me, a personal relationship with God is just daily conversations with Him. When I was thinking about what the Lord has done in my life, to me, there's a couple of songs that come to my mind, but one of them being, I worship you, one of the songs they sing, I worship you because of who you are. And, you know, to be with God, you got to know who He is. And a word that comes to mind is communion. And when I looked that up in the Hebrew, it was a partnership or participation and communication. So all those things are really important for a personal relationship and walking with God. There's a verse that's always stuck out to me, and I read it again the other day when I was studying for this, but it was in a different way than what I remembered. And it's Genesis 3:8, and it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees." And that's like right after, you know, they had sinned or whatever in the fall, and they're, you know, sort of hiding from God. But the fact that it says walking in the cool of the day tells me that they had walked with Him before. And so sort of that's what I think about when I think about my relationship with God.
Amen. Personal relationship. I like what you said, communication. When you begin to define what the Scripture said about that. But how many people here know, without a shadow of a doubt, what Emily's talking about? If you're going to have communion or any relationship with anybody, whether it's a friend, your spouse, your neighbor, whatever, communication is key. And what you put into a relationship is what you're going to get out of a relationship. And as she was saying, that's, you know, and then use the example with Adam and Eve walking with God. I wonder sometimes, especially younger Christians, do they struggle to realize that they can come into relationship with the Lord? In other words, I know it's hard sometimes to understand that, but that God really wants to have a personal relationship with you.
Also, something that I didn't grasp or, you know, come to realize until probably within the last year is God truly does care about, like, if you think it's small, talk to Him about it. He literally, I mean, even down to like just laughing together. Like, I know you always said you set a chair out for Him, and like, yeah, you can actually do that, and He'll come down and actually talk to you.
Yes. And that is amazing. And a lot of times people don't realize that that is the reality of a relationship with God. He is with you. He is there when you pray. You can have a talk one-on-one. When you talk about Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the day with Him, don't you think they talked with Him? Don't you think they had that communion, that fellowship with Him? I absolutely think that is perfect and spot on. Matt, when I say that having a personal relationship with God, what's that mean to you?
Can y'all hear me? Okay. My biggest thing for having a personal relationship is just the intimate connection. So I have a really bad time with trying to make sure that I keep myself centered with the work that I'm in and everything else and everybody that I work with. It's a worldly place that I'm always in all the time. And my biggest thing is keeping that connection, keeping that centeredness of being able to make sure what I am doing is for the Lord. Being able to always worship and pray, even when I'm not here. If I'm on my way to work, just making sure that I continue my path, even if it's not in front of anybody. I keep that connection all the time. That is my biggest thing for me.
Amen. And I think a lot to that. I think it's a great, great answer as well. Because you talked about your work environment and stuff like that, and I think we all can amen to this. Whether it's at work or just whatever, there's people in our lives, whether it's coworkers or just people that we day-to-day run into and talk to. When I say this, I don't mean no disrespect to nobody, but every one of us has hoodlums in our lives. It is what it is, guys. I mean, it's just true. Yeah, every one of us might have the individual that, at work that has the filthy mouth. Might have the person we run into all the time ain't nothing but a gossip. Might have somebody that's just, all they do is speak negative. Whatever it is, situation is. In other words, we've all got that kind of stuff pouring into us every single day. And as you're talking about, you know, if you find that it's important to stay connected to God, like, you know, even through the week. If we just come to church on Sunday and that's all we have that communion or communication with Him and stay in tune with Him, all week other people are pouring things into you. You know what I mean? And I really think for a long time, as a young Christian, I saw it from that standpoint, Teresa. I saw church as being a reset reservoir to finally just be able to come away from all that stuff. When I wasn't really realizing what Matt just said, I can have that relationship with Him all week long. On my drive to work or whatever it is, that really, you know, I can absolutely understand that. But let me ask you this: on the especially bad weeks, and we all have them from time to time, you know, just one of them weeks or whatever. What type of things do you do to try to stay connected to God through that week? As you talk about the relationship.
So actually, just recently, I'll say this: the last 2 weeks have been especially hard for me. With coworker being out and everything else, but it's been hitting me more here recently of trying to fight that worldly, like the cussing, the cutting up, and everything else.
That maybe you used to do.
Exactly.
Sure, absolutely.
And I actually contacted Josh, and it's really important to have, like we were talking about, that community and being able to reach back to somebody. I actually got a hold of Josh, and I was like, dude, I'm struggling. Like, I need help. I don't know what's going on. And I felt a heaviness in my heart Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And prayed really hard on it. And woke up the next morning and I felt I still had that feeling, that heaviness in my heart. And I didn't realize it until I got to work what it was. I dreaded walking in there because the first thing that came to my mind is, I just don't want to deal with everything that's in there today.
Sure.
Like, Wednesday night group was amazing, powerful, and that's the environment that I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
And then I get to work, and I'm like, man, this is hard.
Yeah.
But I talked to Josh, and he said, man, just pray. He was like, there's times that I'll go in and I'll pray, and then hopefully it pours in. Mm-hmm. But he actually gave me a good idea to take some scripture and write them down on sticky notes. I have a desk, so. Write them down on some sticky notes and just set them up there. And hopefully that gives me the opportunity to be able to witness to them and hopefully change that work environment.
Hey, man, that's wonderful. For you guys that don't know what he was talking about, we had a group on Wednesday night. Both these two people are in it. We had a wonderful Wednesday night group. And as he said, have you ever been to a great service? Anybody ever had a great service on Sunday? And then when it came to that night, you're going, oh, I got to go back to church, work tomorrow. That's what Matt's talking about. When you leave the presence of God in that way, you just want to go, that's where you want to be at. That's where you want to be at. But that's a great answer. Emily, the next question is, what is the difference between a relationship and just going to church?
In my notes here, I have having conversations instead of having them when someone else tells you to pray, like everybody bow your head type deal. And then I also have being sanctified. Like, when I think about being sanctified and, you know, we have all these things to do, like, I don't know about you guys, but I just, ever since I was little, I felt like a big pressure of having to do something for God. Like, my dad is sort of, we always joke, he's sort of all or nothing. Like, and so when I'm thinking about, you know, my relationship and everything else and just attending church, it feels like a really big weight on your shoulders to try to get it out there, you know? But, especially here lately, the Lord's been dealing with me, and He, you know, sort of enlightened me on this thing that I feel heavy about. It's Peter and Paul. When you think about big leaders like that, you know, you think about, oh, I'll never, you know, do what they did. I can't reach as many people and stuff like that. But the Lord showed me they weren't born with anything special. Like, we're all born the same way. It's the Holy Spirit that actually empowers you to be in certain places, to say certain things. And so, and that's, you know, everybody's heard that before, but truly, like, when you ask yourself, like, going to work, or, you know, just seeing somebody at a gas station, do you truly wake up every day, me included, do I truly wake up every day and say, Holy Spirit, please show me and lead me in every single thing that I have to do today? Like, it truly does make all the difference in the world.
Amen. And you talked about, you know, the pressure that you kind of always felt and stuff like that. To me, I can say, even me, when I was younger, I can understand what you're talking about there, because as far as going to church, I felt when I got saved, for example, Brother Joe, when I first got saved, I remember receiving some good advice. It's good sound advice when I say this, okay? So I'm not knocking on this advice. It's great sound advice. But I was told to go to church, read your Bible, and pray. That's good advice, okay? But what it created in me, because I didn't understand it at the time, was pressure. I felt like I got to do this, and I didn't do this today, and oh man, I'm messing up, and I got to. And it kind of created a list of do's and don'ts for me. And I never really bought into the relationship that you're talking about. And that, I struggled for a long time as a Christian, and it was so hard, ready for this, to stay saved. That's what I struggled with, because I was failing of understanding what you're talking about. And it was very hard, because I just felt the pressure, Brother Joe, that I was always battling the devil. Every day I didn't, oh man, can't do this no more. I can't do that. Ted, you can't say that no more. Ted, you can't do it. But I wasn't falling in love with the relationship, is exactly what I was doing too. So I can absolutely amen everything you said. What about you, Matt?
Relationship for me is learning. You're constantly learning no matter what. You're setting that solid foundation. And the biggest thing when I thought that first came to my mind for setting that foundation was Matthew 7:24. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Mm-hmm. You're always setting yourself up to be that solid foundation for not just your family, but for everybody else. Your relationship with the Lord is going to set the foundation for how everybody else sets theirs up. You're always listening, you're always following and obeying the Word of God, the living Word of God. Let me add that.
Amen.
And you're just always passing it on to the next person that needs it. And my biggest thing is I can't personally bring myself just to show up, mm-hmm. praise the Lord, and go home and continue with my worldly life.
That's right.
He says, turn away
Amen.
From your sin.
Amen.
So, that's my biggest thing, is you're always learning, you're always listening, you're always obeying.
Amen. So when you start focusing on the relationship instead of just coming to church, what you say, there should be a change that takes place. Okay? You can't keep walking the way you walked. As Emily said, Emily brought up a word, beautiful word, that's not said as much in church no more, that needs to be said in church. Sanctified. Plain and simple. And what that is simply what Matt is really saying. Matt kind of simplified that by saying, when I come into relationship with the Lord, I didn't just show up to church. Because I was coming into relationship with Him, He started pulling things out of me that didn't need to be there. That is a sanctification process. In other words, I couldn't act that way no more because I didn't want to act that way no more. It took the do's and don'ts out of it. And I began to realize, Pat, I love being at this spot with Jesus more than I want to be over here doing what I used to do. And that, I think, is what having that relationship really trumps over just going to church. Does that make sense? Number three, Emily, what does a relationship teach us about priorities? It kind of goes exactly what you were talking about there. What kind of priorities must we have or make to ensure that a relationship remains strong?
So I looked up the amount of time it takes to form a habit, and the average is 66 days. There are 66 books in the Bible.
Ooh.
And I'm not saying you have to read a whole entire book every day. That's not what I mean. But I don't think it's a coincidence that they're the same number. So, of course, everybody should probably spend time with the Lord. I would say first when you wake up, and if that's not an option for you, just make sure to get it in sometime during the day, at least like 5 minutes. And like he mentioned, during your work day, have little sticky notes, have those little conversations with the Lord whenever you get the chance. And that's something you can pray for. Like, Lord, help me have a chance to put you first. Lord, help me with the conversations that I have. Let me show you to other people. So I would say praying, reading the Bible, and just spending that time with the Lord, worship. I mean, every Saturday morning, my mom had the Christian station blasting through the house when she was cleaning. So just any time throughout the day that you find yourself maybe going towards your phone, or, you know, turning your TV show on or something, just put the Lord first in those couple minutes.
Amen. Priorities. Priorities matter. Matt?
So when you asked this, I thought of more of the priorities side. Mm-hmm. For me, a big priority is discipline. Being able to listen and move and step when he says to step. And when I thought of that, I was reading and I was thinking, and Proverbs, I came across Proverbs 15:32, whoever ignores instructions despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. So it's the criticism, it's the everything else that you ignore, that you lose the intelligence part of it. It's what the Lord tells you to move and act on that you will gain that intelligence later down the line. And then I agree with Emily. Two of the biggest things for me is worship and prayer. If you don't have that time to just sit with him, sit at his feet and pray and just be in his presence, that's hard. I know it is, because you need to be in that prayer time.
Amen.
And you need to be in that worship time so that you can be with him, so that he can work on you to bring forth the glory of his kingdom.
Amen. Amen. By the way, I don't, Emily's answer and then Matt's answer. Matt brought up discipline. I think they go hand in hand with what you're saying, but discipline is very important, because you learn to make that a priority and have the discipline in your life to do so. But I just want to bring a point up here. Matt, what is your occupation? What do you do?
I'm active duty with the National Guard.
So discipline for a military man makes a lot of sense. Everybody's different. As Matt said just a while ago, it's a living, breathing word of God. When you take time and make that a priority in your life and you read that scripture, Emily can read that scripture and God ministers to her in one way. Matt can read the same scripture and God ministers to him in another way. So, that being said, we don't need to carry like a big old Santa Claus bag on our shoulder of gifts. We don't need to carry the excuse no more that I just don't understand the Bible. Can I tell you something right now? Read it and ask God, because it don't matter if you read it and you don't get as much as this person does, you'll get something out of it. And that's what really matters, because we're talking about working on the relationship. Even if you don't, I didn't get that. Well, what I read that, and maybe what Pastor Walker preached on, man, I didn't get that at all. I just got that he loves me. You know what? That's what he wants you to know that day, is that he loves you. And it's important to be disciplined and put God first in our relationship. The next one is this, and I'm going to read some scripture here, but then ask their thoughts. What does Matthew 25... verses 1 through 13 tell us about relationship? Now, this is in the English Standard Version, and this is a pretty familiar scripture. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Emily, what does that scripture to you say about the importance of a relationship with the Lord?
I think the key word here is I didn't know you. So the five who took their oil, they were, oil can be represented as the Holy Spirit, right?
Absolutely.
So they had the Holy Spirit with them. They had that relationship. They knew God. The ones who didn't, either, you know, I have no zeal or no passion. So I think it can be for those who have never known him, or for those whose oil have run dry. And so their lamps were dim. And we all know that scripture, the lamp unto my feet. So, yeah. And, you know, I took that as caught sleeping, not reading. And I know that, you know, you can have a relationship without reading your Bible, but the Bible is the characteristic of God, the characteristics of God. And so if you're not really reading your Bible, you know, how much do you know about God? It's like what Dad was saying on Sunday, the recentering. You know, our Bible is the GPS. And so nobody can do it for you, because they told him to go out and buy some from those other people. And so, you know, you can't lean on someone else to get you into heaven.
Amen. And, you know, Emily said that, you know, you can have a relationship with the Lord and not read your Bible. And I'm going to lean upon a quote from a family member of hers, her Uncle Jackie Grimmett, who says, I've heard him say it before from the pulpit, you can have a relationship with the Lord without going to church, but you also can jump out of an airplane without a parachute, but I wouldn't recommend it. That's what I kind of look about as the Bible. You might be able to do that, but I definitely wouldn't recommend it, because as Emily's saying, that helps you understand the ways of the Lord more perfectly. And the relationship that she's talking about is vital when the Lord comes back. If we don't have a relationship, but we say, "But Lord, I showed up to church every Sunday," that ain't what he's wanting. He's wanting us to come into relationship. Matt, what did you get from that, brother?
My biggest thing for that was staying prepared. That's the thing that kept popping up in my mind, was the preparedness of not only like your mind, but your spirit as well. It's keeping the relationship strong. It's keeping that courage and love always built. And my biggest thing was the go and buy more oil. Mm-hmm. The thing that kept coming to my mind was you can't go and buy your salvation at the last minute. You always have to be dug deep in the Bible. You always have to be, I mean, we've said it multiple times, you always have to stay centered. Keep your eyes and your faith on him, and know that he will bring it forward. That's the last minute thing, man. It always makes me think, because, man, there's a lot of people that think, I'm going to come to church, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go back to what I was doing Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday. And then come Sunday, it's going to be fixed. It's not. You have to keep that relationship with him. It's spiritual preparedness. It's mental, heart, everything. It's always being prepared, because we don't know the hour. We don't know the time. And we just have to look for him.
Amen. Matt's hit on one aspect. She's hit on another. She talked about the oil being the Holy Spirit. It absolutely is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Matt taught about the importance of being ready. Right? You both have the, you know, so when you bring the scripture together and you bring together what they're talking about, when you collide them together for trying to get an understanding what God's wanting to tell us here about relationship with the Lord and the importance of this story in relation to relationship, it's one of this, that, church, listen, you've probably heard all your life the Lord is coming back soon. He's coming back one day. Amen? Well, he is. And he's going to come back at the hour that you think not. So you got to be prepared. You absolutely have to be prepared. And as Emily's saying, that relationship has to be strong, Brother Joe, to where you have oil in your lamp. The Holy Spirit inside of you. Okay? I've always said it this way. Listen, Michael Jordan is probably the best jumper I've ever seen in my life with my eyeballs. He could jump and seem like he glided through the air. About as good as anybody on this planet. Okay? But when the Lord comes back at the rapture, he's coming back at the clouds, and not even Michael Jordan can jump that high. And when he says, come up hither, those that are with the oil in their lamp and the Holy Spirit full in your vessel and that are prepared are going to go up to meet him. And if we don't have that personal relationship with the Lord and we're just going to church and going through the motions and we don't really think about him much, as Matt said, from Monday through Saturday or whatever, then what's going to happen is you're going to be like one of those foolish virgins that let that oil go out, never got oil, whatever you want to say, and at the last minute you're going to go try to get it, but it's going to be too late. When you come, he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Why? Because you didn't take a time to have a relationship with me. And that is what is the biggest thing when people talk about Christianity. Christianity, Pat, is a privilege to have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what it is. It's about salvation. It's about Jesus died on a cross for us so that he could come in and live in us, Brother Joe, and lead us and guide us and to have communion with us. And that's really what that scripture means. The final question that I ask him is this. Emily, what is your response to the following statement? And what does it say about this particular relationship with God? What's the statement say about whoever makes this statement? What's it say about their relationship with God? Now, I'm probably going to sound a little sarcastic when I say this because I intended the question to sound sarcastic, okay? Well, I go to church when I can. I believe in prayer and I do good and try to treat people right. I just don't believe that you have to be all radical with it. I don't believe you have to just tell other people about it all the time and aggravate them. What's that say to you if you would hear somebody say that? What's that kind of make you feel about their relationship with the Lord if they would say something like that?
It would make me feel sad because they're in it for the wrong reasons. They're in it to check off a list and, you know, try to do right and get to heaven, and that's pretty much it. But they're missing out on so much. It's that going back to the last question too, and actually all of the questions I have, to be known is to be loved. Ooh. So if you are trying to check off that mental list every single day, you're going to get worn out because you're putting, effort that's too much effort. It's almost like focused on things like the law, like you have to do this, when Jesus has already done it for you.
Amen.
And all you have to do, really, it's not about how many chapters you read. It's not about anything. God could care less if you read 20 chapters and didn't consult him.
Ooh.
It's reading one verse, talking about it with him, and actually letting the Holy Spirit show you what you need to know in that moment.
Amen. Wow, that was good. What about you, my brother?
So, taking notes, relationship with God is what Jesus came down for. He is the whole, that is the whole reason he came down, so he could split the veil so that we could have the relationship. We don't have to go to anybody and ask, we do, to strengthen prayer, but we don't have to go to somebody in our place to talk to the Lord. We can sit wherever we are, whether we're in our car, at home. It does not matter. We can have that relationship without having the middleman.
Amen.
And my big believing in God and obeying God is two different things. You can come to church and you can believe, but coming to church and obeying and taking the steps that he tells you to take when he tells you to take them is two different things.
I've said this before in trying to tie both what they're saying together, because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, talk's cheap. If you love me, say you love me, keep my commandments. And to Emily's, and I've said this while I've been preaching before, is I remember when I was dating Tara years ago, because I ain't no younger no more. But I remember that anytime we got a chance to go out together, Emily, or Leanne, I was going to take it. I don't care if I could see her for 10 minutes. I had to drive somewhere to do it. I was doing it. And we'd go out on a Saturday or whatever because, you know, back in those days, her dad had rules about dating. You know, how many days a week and, you know, stuff like that. So had to go by the rules. It didn't matter what anybody else, their rules were for their daughter. I had to go by his rules for her, you know, just the way it was. But I remember going out with Tara on a Saturday. You know, Saturday was a big day, you know, back then. And we'd go do something, you know, on the occasion. We might be doing something all day and then catch a movie at the end of the day or whatever. And you'd had spent all day with her, all day long. And then get home after you drop it off, Pat, and you called her on the phone. Now, what in tarnations did you have to talk about for another hour or two on the phone when you was with them all day long? But you know what? I wasn't made to do that. I wanted to do that. I was falling in love with Tara. Nobody was forcing me into that relationship. If we will allow ourselves to fall in love with Jesus, you will want to spend time with Him. You'll want to pick up your Bible. You'll want to walk the walk and talk the talk because you don't want to grieve Him. You don't want to disappoint Him. How many people here, and we all sin and come short of the glory of God, we all mess up from time to time. But as soon as you do, you know you did it. And maybe you do things and it just tears you up. He's forgiven you, but it tears you up that you offended Him because He's so good and His love is so, so great. And when you get to that point, I think that's where God wants us. That's where you need to be. You need to be focused on that relationship with the Lord. Matt, the next question is this. Me personally, as a younger Christian, I struggled, as I shared with you guys, the do's and don'ts of the relationship and stuff like that. And, you know, I thought it was hard, you know, to do it that way. But my question to you, Matt, is do you think people of your age worry that if I get saved, I just don't think I can do it? Don't think I can give this up or that up. Do you think people your age worry about that? And if so, what would you say to that?
I think they do for a lot of reasons. They worry about what they have to give up rather than the reason they're giving it up. They worry about, man, well, I got to do this. I got to drop doing this. I can't go here anymore. I can't do this or spend time with these people anymore. Mm-hmm. But the Lord will bring sight to you of what needs to be done, what needs to be cleaned up at the time that it needs to be cleaned up.
Amen.
He came. Sorry, I'm very bad for remembering scripture and where it's at. But He didn't come for healthy. He came for the sinners.
Amen.
He came to clean up the people that know that they have done wrong in the world, but they want help.
Amen.
They want saved. They want the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would tell them. It's not about the do's and the don'ts or what you have to or what you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell them just allow Him to take away what needs to be taken away at the time that it needs to be taken.
Amen. In other words, if you think you're going to mess up, you're right, you're going to. We all do, and we all did, even when we first got saved. He's not worried about you being perfect. He's worried about you being with Him. And when that time comes and you inevitably do mess up, then He will work on you about that. You'll talk to Him about that. He'll forgive you. You'll grow from that and all those things. So, in other words, you don't have to be perfect because His grace is perfect. And that goes to what Matt's saying. Next question, I'm not going to have you quote on that for sake of time. Next question to Emily. My question to you, Emily, is this. What are some things that you do that help you in your walk with Jesus now? What are some things you do, maybe good habits you picked up, things that help you walk as a Christian today, being your age and people your generation? As Matt said, you know, for those that's struggling on the fence whether I need to give my life to the Lord and maybe the Lord's drawing them and they just don't think they can do it, and Matt's saying, look, you can do it. You have a relationship with the Lord and you don't have to be perfect. But okay, now that you've been saved and they've accepted the Lord, my question to you is, what are some things you do in your everyday that helps you have that relationship with the Lord?
My everyday, I'm really fallen in love with the Bible more than I ever have in my entire life. The strict reading habit to me is, you know, where it starts, because, you know, setting that time out for God, and God understands, like, if you're somebody who has like four kids and, you know, you're running everywhere, like, it's not, like I said, it's not about how much you read. It's just spending those five minutes when you wake up saying, thank you, Lord, for waking me up, spending those times, and then, you know, going to work, worship music. And I don't know about you guys, but that was something that I struggled with, because I felt bad listening to, you know, what everybody else listens to, but it was so hard for me to turn on the Christian station, just because I don't like that kind of music, really. But that's something, like, he gives you the tools, whatever you need, and that's something that you can pray to him about. And he opens up your mind to hear the lyrics, not so much how it sounds.
Yes.
And so, just, you know, little things like that. And I know it sounds like there's so much pressure and there's so much you have to do, but once again, if you just, you know, take those 5 minutes to spend the time with him, you'll feel so much relief. Like, have you ever regretted sitting down and spending time with God?
No, never. Not one time. Absolutely. And great advice. Next question I'm going to move on to. Emily, I'm going to let you start with it. This is about John 3:16, okay? So I'm going to repeat a very familiar scripture. Tell me in your own words what your thoughts are on what this scripture means to you. Everybody knows it. You'll see it in ball games sometimes, okay? It's John 3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God.
So for me, the 3 points that I found in that was, for God so loved. And when you think of God instead of Jesus, I know they're the same thing, but when you think of God the Father, I don't know about you, but I used to think of, like, all this scary, like, judgment, like Old Testament law giving, you know. But that right there proves that it was not just, you know, what he had to do, or, you know, he could do whatever he wants. He's not a scary, relentless God. He sent his only Son. Jesus also had the choice. That was really big for me. I couldn't understand if Jesus, you know, did Jesus have a choice? And it says, nobody takes my life, or I lay it down on my own accord, or something like that.
Yes, absolutely.
So he also had the choice, and they did that because they love us and they just want a relationship with us. And then the last thing, no condemnation. There's an old song by Casting Crowns, I think, East to West. We used to dance to it. But it's not to point fingers at anybody. It's to save us from our own desperation. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever faced that, but right after I got saved, I was like, well, did I really get saved? Like, you know, how do I know? And everything else. Jesus died for us, and to not we don't have to have that desperation of, God, please don't, you know, strike me down.
Yeah.
He died knowing that we're imperfect people and that he just wants a relationship with us. That's it.
Amen. I can't say no better than that. But you, Matt?
I can't either. She hit everything that I've got. But unconditional love. God gave his only Son, and no condemnation. He's not here to condemn us. He's not here, but he's giving us a chance to accept him. He loves us so much that if you want to continue doing the worldly things, he will send you where you want to go. But it's the love that really strikes out in me for that. Because whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already.
Yes.
So that's the biggest thing.
Amen.
For me is the unconditional love.
Which John 3:16 is the greatest form of love that we have ever known as human beings. And as he was talking, you know, who don't believe in him is condemned already. The Bible says in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So we know if we've been saved, we don't have to face condemnation. We don't have to struggle with that. If the devil is condemning you as something, then that's of the devil. That is not of God. Recognize that. Move on. But as Matt was saying that, you know, I liken that condemnation, an analogy that I shared with them was this, is if you could imagine that an avalanche is coming and you're in a ravine and there's no way across and you're just doomed. That avalanche is going to consume you. It's going to overwhelm you. It's going to take your life. But then you look and there's a bridge there. And that bridge, if I cross that bridge, I live. But if I don't cross that bridge, I die. And when the scripture says those that believe not on the Lord are condemned already, those are the people that refuse to take the bridge. Because in other words, there's no other way to the Father but through the Son. And the only way that you're going to be condemned is if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that bridge that He alone built on Calvary is the only bridge available, Leanne. And if we'll take that bridge, we don't have to be condemned. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means everybody. If you ever wonder who's in the Bible, guess what? You're there. You're a whosoever. I want to thank each of you for coming and being with us this morning. If anything that you got from this, as Emily and Matt has very well said, and we've got more stuff, but we've run out of time. I love these things very much. Let me ask you, do you think they've done a good job? Give them a hand clap. And honestly, you don't have to measure up to what you think a Christian should be. You just need to worry about falling in love with Jesus. Once you have that personal relationship with the Lord, I promise you, your whole world will start changing. He'll love on you. You'll want to read your Bible. You'll want to worship. You'll begin to have a little bit of discipline. But it all comes first from accepting Jesus as Lord. Amen. God bless you.